Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Persuasion and Motivation Influence call. My name's Kurt Mortensen. Welcome to any first-timers that we have. Today is April 25th, and we are talking influence. So I'm getting quite a few questions this week, and I try to, you know, answer the ones I can. And there's a, when I notice a common theme, I try to bring them up and talk about it on these calls. And you can always send an email or post a question there at whypersuasion.com. The key thing factor, no matter what you do in persuasion and influence, there's something called a gatekeeper. Now, this could be a husband, a wife, could be a child, it could be a voicemail, it could be a variety of things to get to the right person or get through to the right person or get that person to call you back. So a lot of times this has been called, you know, that gatekeeper. How do you get through that person? How do you get to the right person? How do you get people to call you back? Because it's pretty easy to leave a voicemail, but are they calling you back? So this is a huge obstacle for a lot of people. We've got a couple questions on it and want to address that. And it can be really annoying because you probably have a great product. You know it's a perfect fit. You know you can help them out, but can you even get to them? Can you get to their voicemail? Are you talking to the right person? The person you don't want to talk to is asking all the questions. So this one, you can have fun with this one, but you have to get through to the right person. You have to talk to the right person. Otherwise, it's not going to matter. So a gatekeeper can be, again, it could be a screener, something like a secretary, a receptionist, a personal assistant, a spouse, even getting through if you're calling somebody's home, getting through the children to talk to the right person. All these things go in there. Getting to the voicemail all the time, these are all impeding you from getting to the right person. And it's not their job. If it's in the business world, you're trying to get through a secretary, receptionist, that's their job. I know many jobs I had, I've told them, look, there's only certain people get through, and their job. And so if they let you through and they're not supposed to, they could be in trouble. So we have to be careful with that, too, and understand what their mindset is. And there's different types of screeners we'll be talking about. And that's what the challenge is with influence, because you have to get to the right person. And otherwise, you're wasting your time. And sometimes they'll send you to the wrong person, to a low-level person. Sometimes they will lie to you, not available at the lunch, call back later, not interested, they don't even know what it is. And reality is, again, you can't persuade if you're not talking to the right person. And so understand that this is their marching orders. They, a lot of times, will treat you how you treat them. So you need to learn to adjust and adapt and connect with that type of person and not really blow it. Getting angry, getting frustrated, it's the wrong person to do that. And so the major things that I've seen as I've talked to people, interviewed people, some of the major blunders is some people tend to lie. I've seen this before, people trying to get through to me, and they're like, oh, we have an appointment, they're expecting my call, and they lie, they're blatant lies, because they say the person's name and who they represent. I know I haven't talked to them before, and so if they lie to get through to me, they're going to lie about a lot of things, and so I'm done with them. When I know that they're lying and they're creating things or being very vague, I'm done with them. So that's a major blunder. Never lie. Never lie. Never be rude or sarcastic. Don't refuse to give them any additional information. I'll talk to them about it. That's personal information. If they're asking for it, they probably have the doors open for them to ask that, and so you probably need to give it to them. One thing you can do, too, is gather information on a previous call. If you've talked to this gatekeeper before, the spouse before, kind of take mental notes or even physical notes on their personality, find out what's going on. You can find out what their schedule is when they're there. Are they there in the morning? Do they take a lunch at the same time? Because if they go take the lunch at the same time, a lot of times that call will go right through to the person that you're trying to get through. A lot of times, too, if you can call early in the morning, especially if you're trying to get hold of an executive, they tend to stay early or get there, go early or stay late, because that's when most of the job gets done. If you've ever had an upper management position, you know that during the day you're putting out fires, things are happening, you don't get much work done. And so sometimes you have to come in early or stay late. That might be a good time to get directly through to the right person. So you also at that time might be able to find out how to pronounce their name or the gatekeeper's name and take some good notes so the next time you can do it the right way. Again, don't lie. Don't be sarcastic. They've probably heard it all before as you get through that what we call the screener. Now, some screeners, there's two types I want to talk about. There's the detective. Lots of questions. They'll be nice. They'll gauge you in small talk. They will want to connect. And, you know, that's the type of person you want to connect with, make it sound like a personal call, be positive and confident. But any hint of uncertainty or if you pause too long before you answer the questions, that will kill you every time. So they're just trying to make sure that you're the right person to talk to. They're going to ask you a lot of questions. They're going to get you through. Now, then the other type, which is what we call the bulldog. And if you're not on the list, you're not getting through. This is the type of person and you can tell in their voice, be blunt and to the point. Sometimes you can do the opposite of what they expect. You need to sound important. You need to have a calm voice. Speak slowly, articulately, let me get that right, during those opening seconds of your conversations to make sure you can get through it and can make yourself sound important and that you're there to solve their problems. It's not always going to get you through, but it's going to increase the chances. Some people, no matter what, if you're not on that list, you're not getting through. So what are some other strategies that we can talk about? Now, it depends on the situation. If you're doing business to business, if you're calling people's homes, if you're calling offices, there's some strategies here. And you're going to have to adapt depending on your situation. One strategy that worked really well, I'll call this guy the Cookie Man. And he'd come to my office once a month, once maybe every 2 months. And he it was like paper supplies and things. That were pretty general, nothing specific that you could get anywhere. And we already had a contract with somebody else. But every couple months, he'd drop by and drop off freshly made cookies. And they were good. I mean, they were really good. And, you know, if you studied the law of obligation, you know that it doesn't guarantee someone's going to do business with you, but it puts you higher on the list. It's harder to reject that person. So maybe you can drop something by. You can send them an email. You can send them something. If they're locally, drop something off. Food works well. And it's harder to reject you. They get to know you. It's easier to get through. A book, CD, donuts, find their favorite treat. I mean, if it's the last resort, it might work well. Now, when we talk about the Cookie Man, when the contract expired, it probably took him, I'd say probably 8 to 10 months, but, you know, put him on the top of the list, gave him a shot at it, and did really well. Still brought us cookies, too. And so maybe you can email them something. If they're far away, something, find out what they're interested in, find something or a link through email. A lot of ways to do this, but that gets you through, then you're just not another blank face. So reciprocity is very powerful in this situation. Another one is understanding voicemail. That's a gatekeeper. One of the big complaints as I interview people about voicemail is it sounds like you've left it 100 times. Because you have left it 100 times, you need to understand you have to customize each voicemail. You should listen to their messages and learn about that person. Do they sound like a visual person? Do they sound like more of an emotional person? Do they have a lot of energy? What type of personality are they? So that's so important because you can adapt. You can learn so much from a voicemail. We've talked about this. It's Bob, you know the drill. Tells you, you know, you need to be short and to the point, probably analytical, and that's what you need to do. Now, if there's music playing in the background, hey, it's Sally, thanks for your call. It's a beautiful day. Your message is important to me. I'll call you back in 24 hours. Then you can spend a little more time. But you can customize each voicemail, adapt. Read their personality, and you need to have a presentation or a script where would reveal some sort of promise or benefit that you're there to solve problem. Now, in business, it's usually making money or saving money. Might be retention, could be other things. What is the main thing you can do to solve their problem? And don't vomit all of them, just a few to intrigue them. You know, if I said, hey, this is Kurt Mortensen, I help CEOs who are frustrated by low sales and high turnover. I have a simple system to increase sales 30% in 60 days. You know, simple to the point. It doesn't guarantee, but it puts you higher on the list. It's intriguing. So I promised to increase sales 30% in 60 days. They want to know how to do that. So that's something, some type of benefit. You can also use social validation. This is very powerful to get through gatekeepers or voicemail. Hey, Frank and IT, or his good friend Bob, recommended, told me I should call, wanted me to call the CEO here. So if you can drop a name that the gatekeeper knows or the person knows on their voicemail, that will increase the chances that they'll call you back. Then the other one we've talked about, just to remind you, is the old Zeigarnik effect, which is the brain remembers things that are unfinished. So if you can leave something on that voicemail that's intriguing, like the promise, and unfinished, that increases the chance for them to call you back. And so the examples I've given is, you know, you're watching TV, you're getting ready to, it's a movie, and right before the commercial, a knife comes up, or car's about to crash, or someone's going to get hit by a lightning bolt, whatever it is. So that's unfinished. You want to know what's happening. You're more than likely to stick around for the conclusion. That would be the Zeigarnik effect. Or you're watching the news, and they say, you know, your water's probably killing you, and they cut to a break. So what that means, if you can say, hey, Bob, I found the perfect solution. I want to send it to you. You know, I found this great thing, a great article. I want to do this. Hey, remember we talked about this? I have found this. Something intriguing, something that's unfinished, will increase the chances that they are going to call you back. So again, voicemail is still a gatekeeper. You got to get, you're getting to them, but it's one more step to get through. So every voicemail is different. Learn to customize it, read their personality, find out what is that promise. What is that promise? And it could be something like, I was calling someone up to say, you know, hey, my name's Kurt Mortensen. Are you tired of your salespeople making excuses about not meeting their quota? Hey, just give me 5 minutes, and I'll show you three proven ways to increase your sales. And just for calling or letting me visit, I'll give you my best-selling book. You know, something like that would be the unfinished part. And that's something that you could do to get through. That will really help you out in the voicemail department. You can break in any time with questions or zap me through the net. Anyway, we'll take those. Another option is find a different gate. Now, part of that could be the timing. Like you mentioned, calling earlier or later or during lunch. So that could be part of it. Another part of that, too, is maybe you want to try, if the voicemail is not working, is an email better? Is texting better? Is sending a letter better? Because we all gravitate toward different things, and it's interesting that some people just love texting. It's right there, boom, pops up in a quick answer. Do you want to send them something on Facebook, on Twitter? Maybe not so much Twitter, but maybe LinkedIn, which is more of a professional network. That might get through to, you know, email, send to be the first thing you look at in the morning. You might want to send it in the evening. Get someone that can deliver a message personally, drop it off on their desk, give you a vote of confidence. Maybe you even want to drop something off to the gatekeeper to hand to them directly and wait for a response. Those are all possibilities. So finding a different gate, different avenue, different medium could be a great thing for you to get through. Also, as I've interviewed gatekeepers, another big one, if you study the laws of persuasion, this would be in your Magnetic Persuasion series, the law of connectivity. Your ability to quickly bond with people, to get them to like you, to develop trust, will help you in every aspect of getting through a gatekeeper, every aspect of persuasion. And finding common ground, reviewing people skills, treating people with respect, not bullying as we talked about, very, very important. They can hear it in your voice, that confidence we talked about. They can be your allies. They're not your enemies. And if they sense you're treating them like an enemy, they're going to mirror that. So getting the good old-fashioned people skills still work. So many people try to bully or try to hide things, and God, gatekeepers hate that. They make it worse. And they'll remember your name. A lot of them will write your name down, so when you try again 2 weeks later and you think they don't remember who you are, oh, they remember who you are. Last result, you've tried all these things. Again, some of these bulldogs, it's tough. You'll have to find a different gate. Is what I call beg for mercy. Basically, appeal to their esteem, their self-esteem. It's kind of, please help me. And put all your cards on the table. Say, you know, I've give up. You're one of the best screeners I've ever talked to. If you were me, what would you do? You know, so, you know, I've left 7 messages before, and I have this information or this thing that can really solve this, this, and this. Help me out. What do I need to do differently? I know that this will change business. I know it'll increase income. I know it'll increase sales. I know it'll solve this and fill the blanks. You might say, you know, I apologize. You know, I know I'm driving you crazy. I'm calling you every week. I don't want to waste your time. I know your time is important to you. You know, how does, let's say Larry decide who he's going to talk to? How can I get through? And they appreciate that honesty. Hopefully Larry will appreciate the persistence, and they'll open, many times they'll open up to you. He says, well, it's going to be difficult. Maybe you need to do this and this. Maybe he prefers emails. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe if you stop by, maybe you, and beg for their mercy and be grateful for it, because they know exactly what it's going to take to get through. Got to get through that gatekeeper. Got to get through the voicemail. So as you do this, try to create some type of urgency for a reason to call them back. So you need urgency, or use the Zeigarnik effect. Sometimes if it's an odd or strange request, that'll also remember it more. You can mention that the previous contact, that you've talked to them before, that you've left messages. This is all going to be part of the package. And you're going to slowly get the feel for this, how it works, how to adapt. That will go a long way. And don't always wait for the receptionist or gatekeeper to say, what's this in reference to? Try to avoid that. Try to give them enough information to where they don't have to ask that. They don't have any risk letting you through. That is all part of understanding gatekeepers. So this is what I want you to do, and then we'll open it up for some questions, things you're either running into in the world of persuasion or things that we talked about today. Is I want you to write two or three scripts. If it's a gatekeeper is your biggest issue, write those down. How are you going to get through? If it's voicemail is your biggest issue, write a couple of voicemails so it becomes natural and part of you. What type of voicemail you leave to an outgoing person? What type of voicemail you leave to an analytical person? And I'd recommend recording it. Or maybe you want to call your cell phone from a landline and listen to your voice. Are you using vocal fillers? That decreases your credibility. Are you talking too slow? And that's part of the mirroring and understanding. If they talk slow in their voicemail, you should do the same. That increases the connection. If they're talking fast, you need to speed up. So that might be a little painful for you. We never sound like we think we sound. So if you could call yourself from a different phone, leave a couple of those messages, listen to them, adjust them, fine-tune them, practice with them, see if you're using vocal fillers, see if it sounds like you've left that message a million times, see if it sounds like you're reading it even, and that'll really help you take it to the next level. So test it, adjust it some more, test it, develop a little script book if you need to, and that will help you out. And be ready for things like, well, do you have an appointment? Is he expecting your call? What are you going to say? It's natural. It's confident. And a lot of times, just pure confidence in your voice is enough to get you through. Okay? All right, so that's our call for today. We'll post the recording on whypersuasion.com. And someone just sent me a question on as far as some of the scripts that we talked about and ways to do that in the voicemail. I wanted me to repeat. Well, this is what I said before, just to kind of let you have to adjust it to you. So if I was leaving a voicemail, I might say, you know, Mr. Brewster, whatever their name is, I help CEOs who are frustrated by low sales and high turnover. Or that could be a sales manager. Anybody in that position knows that's always on their mind. Low sales, turnover. I have a simple system to increase sales 30% in 60 days. Give me a call. I guarantee, maybe you want to say I just want 2 minutes of your time, and I'll guarantee you, you know, three things that you can do right away, or 5 points, or maybe a gift, or a book, or a CD. Or if I was calling another one, again, this is in my world, are you tired of your salespeople making excuses about not meeting their quota? Again, anybody in that world knows that's a huge issue. Oh, this, and the leads, and this, and they say, give me 5 minutes, and I'll give you three proven ways to increase sales. Give me a call. Now, when you say, give me a call, here's another important point, is repeat the phone number twice. A lot of complaints of it. You're going too fast. It got garbled. So slow it down and repeat it twice on voicemails. That is a huge complaint, especially with cell phones now. Maybe it's transferring towers. something happened, they missed a number. And I don't know about you, in a cell phone, when you get a number that's missing a number, it's really not worth the effort to try to figure out of those, 1,000 combinations if you're missing one of the last four digits. And it's not even 1,000, I guess it's almost 10,000 combinations of trying to figure out who it is. I guess to be exact, 9,999 combinations. Actually, more than that, what's a zero? But I guess someone else can figure that one out. Good question. I had a question about the Cookie Man and reciprocity. It doesn't have to be food. That's a question. Does that have to be food? Now, food changes mood. Delivering food in the afternoon is probably the best time. Chocolate, some candy, something different. Cut through the clutter, something fun. It could be popcorn. It could be flavored popcorn. But it doesn't have to be. Maybe you're dropping off a CD or a book. Something interesting, something practical for their desk. I always gravitate to food because, hey, I love food. I love cookies. If it's sweet in the afternoon, I'm probably hungry. Usually don't make it out to lunch. It's just, for me, that works. And for most people, especially as I study mood, there's something about food that matters. So it doesn't have to be food. Highly recommend it. Maybe some industries it's not the best. If you were going to a diabetic clinic, you probably don't want to be bringing donuts. So those are some things that you can think through. Good question. Any other questions, either on the phone or online, send that out to me, and we'll answer those. Just break in if you're on the phone or send them to me. Again, to review the homework, write a couple scripts. That works out well. And I just got another question here on the beg to mercy part, when to use that. Beg to mercy, always last resort. I would always use it as a last resort. I would not lead with that. You're appealing to their esteem. Help me out. If you were me, you know, I'm tried. I've got a great solution. I know we need to connect. That works very well. You want to start off with the connectivity and maybe the social validation. But, you know, last resort, you're finding a different gate or begging for mercy. All right. Again, another question. The Zeigarnik effect. If you want more information on that, it's in the Law of Involvement in the Magnetic Persuasion series. I spend time on that. The name's Bluma Zeigarnik if you want to do more research, B-L-U-M-A, Russian psychologist. I don't think you need to go that deep into it, but if you want to, you're more than welcome to. It's an interesting set of research and studies, but it's also covered in the Law of Involvement. All right. Good? All right, thanks for being on the call today. Maybe if there are things you want to hear or questions, zap them to me online at whypersuasion.com. I'll get the recording posted to you. Go out there, persuade with power. Remember, you have a moral and ethical obligation to persuade people, because if you don't, somebody with an inferior product, inferior service, inferior everything will charge more and not deliver what you will deliver. With that, again, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everyone.